and welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're a little bit late getting going, but never mind. We're there. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, all the things that have gone on. There ain't very much, but we have got a bit of a hack episode for you today, which should provoke some conversation, I hope, because there's only two of the stories otherwise. Great team, as usual. Newly rolled out of bed, unshowered, I'm guessing. And here,
yeah,
Doc. Are you unshowered?
Hello. Yeah, because you guys, I woke up and I had to come downstairs. But
good,
you
know, man.
I live in Hawaii, so let's go away, go jump in the
what,
water.
Do people in Hawaii smell less? Is that...
Yeah, actually we do.
Oh, that's okay. Fair enough then. I hadn't realized.
We have one temperature and we clean by salt water constantly.
Okie doke. Great. Have you had a good week, mate?
Yeah. Extremely busy, crazy good week. Big All right. things, bro.
As long as you make your money, though.
Lots.
Bastard. Next to him is Jeff.
I'm all choked up just because I get to be here with you.
Oh, that's nice, mate. It's good to know that the cat's behaving as well now.
Yeah, she's done trashing my desk and has curled up on a box that's sitting beside her really nice bed because cat.
So just to clarify for people watching, in the pre-show, we did realize that Jeff's cat was playing with an exposed fan off to Jeff's left. So if you see a spray of blood come across Jeff and splat him in the face, it's his cat.
It will be my former cat.
Former cat, thank you. The cat formerly known as Cat.
Yes.
Good, mate. Have you been well since last night?
I have. It's surprising how relaxed I've been over the past couple days.
Excellent. Is there much snow in Boulder?
There's none.
How are you skiing then? Because there isn't Boulder a skiing resort?
Well, Boulder's close to Eldora.
Oh, right. Okay.
I can be to Eldora in like 20 or 30 minutes. And I'm betting the skiing at Eldora isn't very good right now either.
Right. Okay. Good. Bad news. Next to him, Patrice, how are you doing, Mrs.?
Doing very well. Busy week as well.
Thanks
for fixing. Very happy it's Friday.
Thanks for fixing the site earlier.
Oh, no worry. I still don't know what was wrong, but meh.
We never do.
It works.
When Anders used to just do it on his own, he used to say, I'll kick the server, and it always solved the problem. So, yeah.
did I tell you what I did last time this happened?
Kick the server?
I rebooted the machine.
Yeah. Kick the server, that's it. Yeah, no worries. Rave reviews for your live, your nearly live streaming stuff, mate. Low latency, super slick as snot. We've got no flash issues anymore. No Cyloning audio and all that rubbish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very good.
Brilliant.
I'm happy. I'm happy it's working. That's the most important thing. We had to move away from flash. Like, there was no other choice. Like, we needed something else.
We could have done it ages ago, couldn't we? We just didn't bother.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing like that. It was kind of lucky that I found a good solution. So
yeah, no, really good, really good. Next to him, it's Grandpa Chuck. Grandpa Chuck. Sorry, man. That's the end. I'm gonna stop now. There's no more Grandpa Chuck jokes. Sorry.
No, we gotta. I mean, I'm deeply afraid that people are gonna take this seriously. That's the thing, and you know, that's just not the case.
Yeah, you're just bothered about a paternity suit popping up, aren't you?
No, I'm very careful about that kind of thing. No.
No, enough said. It's a family show. We don't do that. Have you had a good week, mate?
I've had a good one, but you brought it up, Ewan. No. I've had a good week, but I'm with Doc and Patrice. I'm extremely. Extremely jealous of Jeff saying, I'm just really relaxed. Like, I want to try that sometime.
Just relax, yeah.
Chuck, just, you know, it's a really weird feeling.
I'm
not
used
to it. Yeah.
It's the hypothermia principle, isn't it?
It's a lot like hypothermia, except you don't get really cold and you don't get naked.
Yeah, and when you when you stop shivering, that's it. It's all over. Kiss your ass goodbye, so. Just
that's right.
Just and once you do it, you get this that moment of serenity. Just is what it is.
Yep, that moment of bliss before the blood in your veins crystallizes into ice.
But Jeff, I'm trying to figure out the naked part of hypothermia. You can get hypothermia without being naked.
No, that's hypoxia, I think, because that's where that's where mountaineers get naked, isn't it? They get hypoxia at high altitude, and they suddenly start taking the clothes off because they think they're hot and they're not.
Hypothermia. They do it with hypothermia.
Is it hypothermia and hypoxia, or just
well,
hypothermia?
Well, I mean,
they feel
hot. You can have hypoxia at the same time,
right?
But the getting naked thing goes along with hypothermia because as your body temperature drops, eventually you get this weird sensation where you start feeling like you're getting way too hot,
and it's not
right, and you're not lucid anymore. And so you start taking your clothes off.
How come you know all this?
Is this from personal experience, Jeff?
When you spend as much time in the mountains as I have, you need to understand how things work.
Right. Okay. So what you're saying is the reason you never have any trousers on is because you're about to die.
I am so cold. Oh my God, I'm so cold. Yes.
And next to him, the man who fixes everything that hasn't got cloth on it. Callum, I forgot your name for a second there. I put too much pressure on myself to remember your name.
Been a good week at Iron Max, rattling through everything. Been a fairly normal week.
There's never a bad week at Iron Max, mate.
Oh, no.
The sun always shines on BTN.
Absolutely.
And our affiliates. Good to have you, mate. The week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on, all the things that are happening. I saw a story this week, which we don't have to have a discussion about, but I just thought it was really cool. And my estimation of Tim Cook has gone up markedly. Tim Cook gifted Donald Trump the very first Mac Pro in 2019. And he must have done that through gritted teeth. Well done, Tim. I'm proud of you, mate. That's a superb effort on your part to keep that discourse civil.
And it's probably on eBay now somewhere.
I was going to say it's on eBay next to a Donald Trump signature for $10,000. He signed it, and then it's doubled the price of Donald Trump's signature. Ex-president of the USA.
At least.
We're not political. We're not doing politics. First interesting story, because one of the things that we covered when we covered the M1 chip was the fact that it looked like it was going to be tailored to OS X and anything else. Tough, you wouldn't be getting, you'd have to go through parallels and that kind of stuff. You wouldn't be able to do a boot camp kind of thing. But Corellium have released a completely functioning version of Linux for M1 Max. Andy Vaughan's going to be happy about this because he was worried that there wouldn't be any Linux instance available to him. But it looks like if you like your Linux stuff, you can run it natively.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I kind of expected that to happen. Linux especially is very, very flexible when it comes to CPU architecture. I mean, it runs probably on almost anything that is out there. So, Linux itself wasn't a problem, and I think it was just about figuring out how the stuff that Apple does there, security-wise, like T2 chip, all of that, how that works. And I mean, yeah, of course, a security researcher did it because they probably know best. So I'm happy about that. Like I think we need more options. We need more operating systems, especially for the Mac Pro. You can run the Mac Pro in a data center. So, and it is a really, really powerful machine. Wait for the M1 version. But I've seen what Apple did with the data center options there, and I mean it's not cheap. But it's a really, really powerful machine. So
yeah, I mean, it says it's now completely usable. But I mean, this would be an interesting one for the Mac Pro, as you just mentioned there, Patrice. Mm-hmm. It includes good support for USB, I2C, DART, etc. But it's got no support for GPUs, no support for GPU acceleration.
Not yet, at least.
So that means you can run Linux, but only in 640 by 480.
Yeah, I mean. For, as I said, for servers, probably makes no difference. And I'm pretty sure now that Linux is running, someone can go in and reverse engineer what needs to be done there and fix that as well.
Yeah.
I think the reason is because it's a custom CPU, so it's like nothing off the shelf where you can just, like, I don't know, use an AMD driver and figure out what's broken and fix that.
Is this going to open up the market for other OSs to come along, or do you think Apple will shut it down?
I think Apple never shut it down, really. I think it was more a technical limitation that they had to do it for the M1 Macs especially, because they couldn't support it properly.
Right.
But Apple said, like, they're like not saying no to it. They're not, like, they said probably not boot camp, but something.
So they're not going to look at boot camp.
Didn't the update for Big Sur that just came out include something to make it easier for alternate operating systems to run?
I don't remember that, but
I might be conflating a couple stories.
Anyone else? You know,
it's still early enough. Mm-hmm. Caffeine hasn't kicked in yet.
Yeah, no, it's possible. Like, as I said, Apple said that there would be definitely something. They just didn't want to talk about how exactly it would look like. And I think it has a lot to do with M1, especially with how different things are in an M1 environment, and they had to figure out what to do.
Yeah. I think it'd be a bad thing if, I mean, I know that the origins of Mac are in the homebrew market, but it'd be bad if they did stop allowing some flexibility in it, some creativity, if you like, with stuff.
The problem
there's a new Windows coming out too, so maybe that will provide some easier solution, because they will have changed some things architecturally that'll let it talk to the CPU.
I mean, I think someone already ran Windows on ARM on a machine somehow. So we know it's possible. I'm pretty sure Apple has been working with Microsoft on that and has a solution. It's just going to take a while. I think the big problem is more Bootcamp itself, that Apple didn't like it very much, because Bootcamp, I mean, if you installed Bootcamp on your machine, it essentially disabled all security Apple had. Right. Any security measurement in the system was disabled because they couldn't do it. And I don't think, plus they had to, like, provide Windows drivers and all of that, and I don't think they wanted to do that. And I think it was a big pain. So I think it was more about getting rid of Bootcamp than about not running alternate systems.
Yeah. There's a comment here. This is missing the point. It isn't really about getting people to use at home on their MacBook, but rather how we already have working Linux distros on this hardware. Linux is a huge in the server world, and with ARM, it's nice to cool the CPUs would suit that world very much. Yep. Says Akrapovich.
Yeah,
that's a really good point.
I just thought about that the other day. That something that has mostly gone unnoticed in most areas. Is that, I mean, Apple discontinued the XSurf?
Yeah, I was just thinking the XSurf coming back would be dope. Yeah.
Don McAllister would be happy.
I think it's already back, because that's what the Mac Pro is.
Yeah, in that U format. You know what I mean? Instead of in that big box with cooler CPUs, you could fit it back into a 2U format. And even if it was something extremely large, like a 4U format, it would still be nice to have those back, because even from a production standpoint, I would love to rack mount a machine and just throw it on it.
You can, Doc. You can. The current Mac Pro, the new machine, is rack mountable and is I think 4U.
Yeah, yeah. So the funny thing about all the adapters or trays or whatever is they work. There's nothing wrong with it, but it doesn't have the same look when it's in the rack. You know, like used to, you can rack mount dual Mac minis and fit perfectly fine. It just looks funny. You know,
Apple provides you the rack mount kit and everything.
Yeah.
They announced that when they announced the Mac Pro. It said has gone unnoticed because most
people... Yeah, because I remember saying that Don McAllister would be happy. Yeah. No, I remember the tray that had the Mac minis, but it was sealed off at the front. You couldn't see them, could you?
Yeah. There was a third party company that made it too. So the cool thing about like purpose building it though, number one, like the current and standard is Sterndard. The current Mac Pro, like the fans and all of that stuff, and well, the heat that it generates is still kind of a little hot, you know, for a rack. Whereas with the M's, like the Mac Mini barely could, like, I don't know, like it's so crazy cool. Like, yeah, not cool as like in Jeff, but cool as in temperate.
Have you been to a data center and seen how hot like those Dell blades get?
100%. Yeah. We have right down the street by where Jerome works, there's a massive data center here. And my friends co-locate there, man. It's loud, it's hot, it's crazy in there. And it's because here with our temperature outside, we can't afford the electricity to keep it cool. Like that place would be out of business in a week. So really the best place for data centers would be Jeff's house.
Oh yeah.
That's true.
I'll just clear out some space in the living room.
It is.
Why the whole network go down to Cat Bit the center?
Excuse me? Why is my website down? Jeff's cat. Sorry.
The only thing is, Jeff, you might have to put pants on. That's the only thing.
Oh, sure. Well, then the whole deal's off.
Well, no, because I mean, you're certainly going to be warm enough, mate, with a packed out with servers.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Until we get back on up, though. Yeah.
No, I made a film in a data center years ago, and I was impressed that it was really quite chilly in there. But they got the way they'd done it was they had like units with the racks in and the servers in, but they were sealed. So they could access from the back, but they were thermally sealed. So the aircon system was only working in the racked area. Yeah. It wasn't doing the whole room, which was pretty cool. Really good.
Yeah, and usually when you walk, it's cooler because that's where the cool air goes into the server, and then like out back, it's where the hot air is.
Yeah. We had a deck server. They were just dope machines. Like I really loved it. It was so cool.
Yeah.
The carcass is still around here somewhere.
I mean, I've got the audio system over to the front here, and I've got the Mac Pro that Don McAllister gave me years ago, which I still use down here on the right. I would love to rack that up and put it in there because the thing's built for a rack to fit racks. It'd be fantastic, but it's just time and effort.
Yeah.
Can't bother. Even if it's possible. Next hack, a video has emerged on YouTube of a developer who has hacked his iPad Pro to run Catalina via an x86 emulation. So I'm guessing this is the kind of emulation that runs and helps you do a Hackintosh, and he's managed to get it to run on his iPad. I thought this was kind of cool. And again, because of the way he's done it, I'm sure that Apple are going to stamp on it potentially. But I quite like Catalina running on my iPad Pro. That'd be nice. Mouse support. That'd probably do me for traveling. I wouldn't carry a laptop anymore.
Yeah, I'm very curious how he did it. I mean, it must be some emulation app that's running, and then he installed that. Installed Catalina in it.
I would have thought it was
pretty nice.
It was the Hackintosh process, wasn't it?
It's not in Hackintosh because it's an iPad.
No, but a UTM software that they would use for x86 emulation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that you do a Hackintosh, isn't it? You run the x86 emulation and then you install to that. It's not natively installed.
On a Mac? Like on an Intel Mac Hackintosh? You just install it.
No. If you've got a Windows PC and you make it into a Hackintosh, you have to install a piece of software to host.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No, not for a standard Hackintosh. Like if you use a Windows PC and you run install macOS on it, that is a native installation. There's no emulation happening there because it's the Intel version, the x86 version of macOS running on an Intel PC or an Intel CPU. There's no emulation happening there. You need special drivers and some stuff.
On a PC. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The UniBeast is just a EFI. I don't know what the word is. Screw it. EFI selector.
Yeah, it's a bootloader.
Oh, okay. I thought that was...
There you go. That's the word I was looking for, a bootlegger.
Yeah.
Now they have multi-beast, which is even more different, but yeah.
This would actually be closer to if you wanted to run Windows on an M1 Mac, like a x86 Windows or x86 Mac OS on an ARM Mac or M1.
That's the true, whoa. That's actually the true answer, because you can run already iPad OS things on the Mini. Mm-hmm. So if you got this working, then in theory, you can move UTM to the Mini and now run Windows or Mac OS on the Mini.
Yeah.
I'm playing the video and there's a whole pile of code coming up, which is illegible.
That's pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, yeah. But the...
It's the boot up.
It says the original time that he ran it, it took 20 minutes for it to start.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The emulation is probably pretty slow on an iPad. Yeah.
But
I was going to say, that was going to be my next question. Is it any good?
Well, he says he's done some tweaks and he's got it down to 5 to 7 minutes, but it's hardly press and go, is it?
No. So at 5 to 7 minutes, it's still booting faster than a TiVo.
Mm. Or a standard.
What, you've run Catalina on a TiVo?
Amen, Doc.
You heard that, Chuck?
I heard that.
That was meant to be one of those old man mumbles.
I wanted to say it, and I decided not to, and you did for me. Thank you.
Yeah, this is scintillating video, isn't it?
Five to 7 minutes for like unoptimized. I mean, they didn't have any optimization in the, like, any access to anything in the kernel level probably, and any optimizations they could do for the hardware. So I would say that's actually not too bad.
No. I mean, it'd be interesting to look at the processing power of where the Mac Pro the iPad Pro currently sits against the MacBook Pro from, say, 2015.
Well, we know that.
No, but I mean, we know that. Benchmark, is that going to be comparable or better, or
we've seen benchmarks of the iPad Pro and showing that it was in most cases faster than even like current devices, not the high end, but like standard current, even MacBook Pros.
The basic end, right?
Yeah, I mean that's the whole reason why they use the iPad Pro in the developer kit in the Mac Mini.
Yeah.
So
you've had 4 minutes now of screen text, just scrolling.
Just text.
I'll come back to the video when we've had when I've got something to show you. Really,
this kind of thing is interesting, but I'm curious for everybody to get everybody's opinion on, other than just the technical aspects of it. Does it really? Is anybody going to use this? Is it just a proof that it can be done? I look at this and I think, man, that's a lot of time wasted just to prove that, yeah, it can be done. But why? Is it because it's there, like Mount Everest?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yes, it's part of it, yes. It's because it's there, because it's a question, can it be done? Is there a way? But sometimes it's the starting point for other things. It's like, okay, if we can do this, then, like, what else can we do? And, like, sometimes useful things coming out of that. But like the initial thing is just, okay, hey, I mean, I have this iPad, I have Mac OS. Can I run Mac OS on the iPad? It's a question. And like some people have, it's for them, it's like a hobby project or like something fun to do. Just try it.
Try hard not to laugh at me here. Yeah. But I think this is akin to some of the things that people do in cooking. Because you get certain processes, like a bechamel sauce, you know, where someone's got butter in first, and then they put the flour in the butter, and then you add the milk, and then you add more flour, and you get this lovely smooth cream. And that's a simple one. And then you look at other stuff where they bake it for a set period of time, and then they have to cool it to a certain temperature, and then it has to go. And you're like, who came up with that? That is such a convoluted process. How on earth did you get to that? And it's someone screwing around doing crap like this, and then someone doing plus one, and screwing it up and coming back and doing plus two. And it is that, you know, that's the process of human creativity, isn't it? But the thing is, and this is an interesting point, and the discussion where you're going from that, Chuck, is what if Apple then piss on that creativity? Because they will do. And then you're kind of like, yeah, now that is a, is that a bad or a good thing? Because I get that Apple is protecting itself, but actually we'd like people to create this. But that's how you then create towards a hacking community who then maliciously hack computers, et cetera, for it. So it's a tough one.
Yeah.
Very tough.
It is. But it has. It existed almost as long as, or even maybe longer as machines like Macs and PCs have existed. So
we've got an Apple. Yeah. We're up to an Apple and a grow bar.
But this is the door opening to cool things that people are going to hack the iPad to do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my first thought on it, kind of looking at it, is this could be the first step in getting some sort of Windows support on Air Max. That's the first thing I'd think of with it, and perhaps that being a route to do that, but I don't think it's anywhere near it.
By
the looks at the minute.
We've got to a Catalina login page, which has got the admin's basketball up, but he's got nowhere to type a password yet. There we go. Hey!
There it is. It worked out it's night time.
That's 6 minutes into the video.
Yeah. That's where you're seeing the graphics issues probably as well. Like, it's not optimized.
And his password is 1234 return.
I liked that the on-screen keyboard still worked.
Yeah. Important feature.
Would this not work better running Big Sur?
Why? Go on.
Big Sur is better optimized for ARM processors.
Yeah, but this is x86. No, this is running x86 now, so that's no.
No, it can't, but that's the point, would it have taken less time and less buggeration to have just said, stuff it, I'll put Big Sur on instead, because at least it's...
I think it could be slightly better.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a second interesting project. Like, now skip the emulation, just pass through and install Big Sur on it and see what happens.
Well, the thing is...
Got a spare iPad Pro.
This is where you find out he's been doing this for the last 12 months and he's just nearly cracked it and Apple released Big Sur and it's like, yeah, that would have taken me half an hour.
Yep.
Never mind. Doc's still asleep. He's not saying much today. And the last hack story, all-in-one chat beeper has managed to get iMessage to run on Android and Windows. About time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, wow, but also kind of creepy the way it does it.
Oh, go on.
Because what they do, if you're a Windows user, and you don't have any Apple devices at all, as part of the subscription you pay for Beeper, they send you a jailbroken iPhone. And you have to leave the jailbroken iPhone running all the time to act as the bridge between Beeper and iMessage.
Okay, that's not as cool. I hadn't read that bit.
Okay, that's pointless. I just get an iPhone.
Beeper costs you $10 a month and a permanently useless phone, or watch, rather.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, and I've shot them a message that I haven't gotten a response to yet. I'm asking them about security because since their whole system is actually passed, acting as a bridge, it's just passing data through, is it leaving everything encrypted or not?
Probably doesn't.
Okay, the app is using...
Well, their website says nothing about privacy.
Because they want to catch dummies who would just do this, and hopefully somewhere in the many dummies that would do this, they will find someone with a modicum of wealth that they can exploit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the guy that did this is the guy that started Pebble.
Yeah, the Pebble Watch, yeah. It says the app is using some trickery to achieve this with the website FAQs. An always online Mac is required, which runs the Beeper app. To act as a bridge. Alternatively, if you have no access to a Mac, then Beeper will ship a jailbroken iPhone with the Beeper app installed, which will act as the bridge.
Okay, but if you have a Mac, why would you need the app?
Well, because you've got a Windows, like a work PC or something for Windows, maybe that you want to boost it to.
Or an Android phone. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a very, very convoluted way to get text messages.
Yes.
I love the idea of Beeper because it's like giving me Adium again, where I can have the one location for all of my chat messages.
I've forgotten about Adium. Jesus.
There's another app that does that. What is it called? It does like, I think it was doing like WhatsApp and Skype and like a couple others.
I want to go back to Ewan's comment about Apple squishing creativity because this is something that needs to be squished.
Sorry. I don't know whether they can. They can try, but I'm not sure they can.
Well, it's not actually interfering with any of the equipment, is it? So it's a legit loophole. Yeah. It's not getting into the code. So in terms of security, it's not negative either.
Well, yeah, you know how they get rid of this guy?
Oh, the jailbroken iPhone's not good. Yeah, all right, fair enough.
To go with that. Get rid of this guy? They just go to him and be like, what do you think you're going to make in this over the next couple of years? And they tell him, and it's, all right, look, we're going to give you that, close this S down and go away. Because the Pebble guy, like, he should have closed down Pebble long before he closed it down. But so obviously, like, customer forwardness wasn't his, you know, primary mission. So people like that, you can make go away for a price. For Apple, it'd be worth whatever the price is to make him go away as long as it wasn't stupid, exorbitant.
Yeah. Muller's watched the video of the iPad booting up and said, that looks like my Mac Mini booting. To which Joe, ever sharp from IMN Max, has typed, get an SSD fitted at imnmax.co.uk/book-repair.
See, Joe is faster than me. I would be like, why would you suffer through that versus pay $700 to buy a new Mini? I mean, it's not like new Mini. You know, you got to take out a lease on your house or something.
You can tell that Doc's business is doing well, can't you?
No, that's not even that. Even if it was pure shit.
You're up to the Don McAllister level of tech. You're going to be using that Mac Mini as a bloody doorstop in a week.
No, I mean, even if it was pure crap, bro, it's $32 a month for 12 months.
Now, seriously, I'm having a conversation because I've got 5 Mac Minis in here, and I'm having a conversation with Mo at IMN Max about them having all of them and boosting them out as, you know, giving them a little pep and then sending them on to people that need them. And then with the money that I get from those, I might have enough to buy myself an M1 Mac Mini with a bit of a bigger drive and a bit more memory and just run the one.
Do not buy a bigger internal drive.
Why not?
You buy 256. I went through this about 100 times. I can't unplug it right now because the machine's running. But you run a 256 and you buy a Sabarin Extreme Q2 Ru 2 terabyte drive for $350.
Right.
The bump in Apple will cost you $600. So you can get a 2 terabyte drive that is twice as fast as the internal drive for $350. And it's 2 layers, not even quad layer cheap crap.
Now, the other thing I was going to do, I'll take your advice on that one, absolutely. But the other thing
MLC.
I was going to say about getting it 16 gig of RAM and seeing how it compares to my Mac Pro in terms of performance.
It will run circles around your Mac Pro. I BS you not.
But do I need to go to 16 gig? That's the thing, Doc. Or
technically, no. But I tell everybody that's in our position to do it because we are different from most folks and we may be the type of person to sell it before it gets too dumb, right? Mm. That extra $200, when you go to resell it, you'll get most of it back. It won't make that much difference in your everyday running because you're not going to – I mean, I'm telling you, I throw stuff at it at Final Cut, and it's faster than this 4K, 5K.
Mm.
And you have the lower RAM configuration, right?
Yeah, I have 8. Well, I just sent it back because I'm going to get 16 because I just want to be able to resell it when the pro model comes out, which will be September. But it's so valuable to me right now that I will literally drop $900 on it knowing that I'm going to get 6 of it back in September when I go to flip it. But that $300, I would have earned it 3 times before today. So why sit there and like beat yourself up over an old machine. And people do this in business that make way more than I do. I'm not making that much, but there's people that are beating themselves up with a 2012 machine mad at Apple. And it's like, no, bro, that machine was deprecated 5 years ago. Like, get rid of it. Get what you need. Seriously, a brand new Mini on the store is $32 a month if you approve for the credit.
Yeah,
and that's interest. That's a no interest. And this is even for Chuck's financial business person. No interest for 12 months for $32 a month. It won't cost you any more than regular because Apple will eat the interest because they can afford it. Mm. And you would, that's three Starbucks, maybe four if you only drink tea. I'm like, it's crazy right now what people are doing to themselves on the old machine. Now, what I was trying to say before Jeff interrupted me on Vital Cut, the only plugins that make it go slow is anything that is highly procedural that actually needs the GPU. Other than that, it's faster than this $4,000 iMac, which is brand spanking new. I got this in August.
Yeah. No, I'm committed to getting one, definitely. I've got five Mac Minis here that can go, and now we've done everyone on one line. It's no brainer for me now.
You can play with cows for the next week and then you'll know how fast it is. It's dumb fast. Like, people don't understand how dumb fast it is. It is ridiculous.
I'm convinced by it, I think. And also as well, we were talking about ports the other week. You know, the Mac Mini has four ports. It has two Thunderbolt
and two USB.
Yeah, so I'm like all over that.
Yeah.
And the new OWC 4, dock is gorgeous. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. With Thunderbolt 4, you can even use that. Exactly. If you really need
one. Either get this one, the CalDigit T3 Plus, or get the new Thunderbolt, actual Thunderbolt dock, and you'll be great. Mm-hmm. You probably have some photo gear that you haven't touched in forever that you could liquidate and have enough to buy a Mini. I have like four Canon flashes that I'll never blink again, and I might sell them to buy my second Mini.
I might have enough camera gear that I could liquidate and buy a Mac Pro.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, most of us tech guys are sitting on stuff that people with no money right now actually need. So you'd be helping someone out by liquidating your junk drawer. And I don't mean that to come from a bougie standpoint. We just have a tendency to collect tech that we don't need. You know what I'm saying? And like, once I started rebuilding my studio and running out of space, I realized there's a bunch of tech stuff I need to let go night-night. And then once that mess is gone, I just took out a pair of $3,000 bookshelf speakers to replace it with a pair of $200 monitors that sound good for this. So I can sell those bookshelf speakers
as in the subwoofer. This shit show, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then it's, well, no, I'm just saying, no, not this show, but for production, these KRK Classic 5s are beautiful. Like, they're good. What Chuck has behind his ears, which is about $300, those Audio Engine 2s are amazeballs. So why was I sitting here bougie and out with my bookshelf speakers like I'm going to listen to Chopin's, you know, Nocturne? And like, no, I'm listening to Jeff, so I can sell those and then buy better studios.
My voice sounds so much better. I kind of want you to be a ringtone,
Jeff. Doc, wake up, Doc. Ewan's going to be mad, Doc. Then I'll send that sucker for Friday.
All right, I'll record that for you and send it over.
Hey, Ewan, I think we should, when we finish the show, I think we should have Jeff sing us out.
Absolutely. Just couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Chunk's trying to just kill our numbers.
No, last summer, Ellis was at a loose end because he finished school early, and I said, right, come down to the office. I want you to go through all the old photographic equipment that I've got. I want you to take pictures of it. I want you to put it on eBay, and I'll give you 50% of whatever we get. And his eyes just went cha-ching, like, yes, man, I'm going to make a fortune. So I came down here, and I literally opened 20 drawers for him and cupboards. So, right, there you go. That's all the stuff. You've got to catalogue it. You've got to take a picture of it, and you've got to stick it on eBay. And most of it, he'd come to me and go, what's this called? It's a thing that goes on like a bracket for a DSLR holder bracket thing that I bought and never used. And he's like, okay, but what am I going to put it on eBay? Have a look on eBay, see if you can find one of them on eBay. But I don't know what I'm searching for.
What is that called? Flesh shoe, I think. That's the...
And in the end, he managed about 4 hours here, and he went, I'm doing this. And he just left. And it was kind of the volume of stuff versus I've got to sit and talk to Dad every minute of every day about what something is to get it. It's not going to be worthwhile. I've got so much stuff here that I've got lenses I haven't used for 10 years, maybe more. And they're good lenses as well. There's nothing wrong. I've got a Sigma 12-24 that's beautiful, but I just never use it because it's big and it's wide and it's round and it clutters up the bag. If I go out, I only need 3 lenses when I go out.
You're just calling me names.
Yeah. If anyone out there wants to come to my studio,
it's a Canon mount.
It's Canon, yeah. It's EF as well. It's not EFS. But if you're out there and you're a listener and you want to come to the studio, have a look through the cupboards and then make me an offer on some stuff, we'll come to a good arrangement. I'm sure of it. There we go.
There you go. That's it.
They will make you an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah.
It sounds funny when it comes in with the German accent.
Yep.
It was always in the movies, right?
If it'll make you an offer, you can't refuse.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
That's what she said.
Not a hack story. Bloomberg is suggesting that the Face ID for iMac is not going to come necessarily in the next iteration that pops out possibly towards September. It's going to be pushed back. I didn't know whether is Face ID a realistic choice for the iMac? Because I would have thought environment where you've got maybe 5 users, it could get, and a cat walking past constantly frigging it. In Jeff's case, it might not be a very good thing to have on a computer.
You activate it first, Ewan.
You'd have a push to talk.
You pop the space bar, and then it scans your face. That way it ignores general movement.
Yeah, and they could do what they've done with Touch ID. I mean, you can have that Touch ID for different accounts. So select the user. And
No, it'd be fine. I get that they'd have accounts.
Users, I think it's about just walk-bys.
Yeah.
That moment you sit down, the crank went out with the missus in the chair, all of a sudden the computer wakes up, we just kill the moment.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Apple will calibrate it for like a certain distance.
Yeah, especially if it's got the porn on that you were looking at lunchtime.
Oh, that was awesome, Doc.
Cal's like, what's he talking about?
I think it's going to be more complicated than a space bar, because looking at Jeff's cat, it could quite happily trigger a space bar action very easily.
Yeah, but cat can trigger the Face ID. But yeah, something that you press and touch or something that tells the computer get ready for input. Yeah. It could be voice. It could even be, hey, S lady, scan my grill, and you'd be like, and then the computer opens.
If I had to guess, I would say it's not going to change from like what it is right now. Like if your machine is active, like if it's locked but like awake, it will scan you and it will look for you. Mm. And if it's asleep, then it's not.
The only thing, I think
is just like using your Apple Watch to unlock your Mac.
Yeah.
The only thing I think that would have to tweak, because of the way it is on the phone and the iPad now, I think they'll probably have to tweak the amount of tries that you get before it asks you to put your password in. So at the moment, I don't know how many times it is, but I know that if it doesn't register my face after probably 5 times, it goes, you've got to put your code in. I think they'll probably have to tweak that and make that a bit more.
I'm not so sure about that. Because like what they did for the iPhone and the iPad is that they calibrated it for a certain distance. Like you have to be within a certain range from the device, and it's different for the iPad than it's for the iPhone to unlock it. And they can do the same thing with a Mac. I mean, if someone walks like behind me, they're far enough away usually that it wouldn't matter. Like it will be like a certain range of distances that you usually sit at a desk. So I don't think they have to tweak it that much. I mean, I think the biggest change will be on the hardware, because they will probably need more like a bigger grid and like a stronger signal and so on, because the distances are bigger, and also the field of view that they need is a little bit bigger. So I would say that's probably like a hardware change that has to happen.
So, Jeff, when you get an Amazon guy at the door tapping on and going, "Hiya, Mr. Gamut, I've got 300 pounds of catnip here. Where do you want me to put it?" Your cat has managed to get a picture of your face, blown it up and stuck it to his tail, presses the space bar, walks past, so he triggers the face ID, and then he's ordering catnip off Amazon.
Yeah, you know, if cat's capable of doing that, she can have all the catnip she wants. Yeah.
Shh, don't say that.
She learned English and started talking to Alexa.
But if she learned English, I'll bet you, Alexa's smarter than Jeff.
That's right.
No. Once again, you're missing the point there. See, this is going back to Chuck's.
The cat started wearing pants.
This is going back to Chuck's creativity thing about squashing creativity, because someone somewhere has created an Alexa skill for talking cats. For cats, so the cat will meow, and hey lady, you'll go, "Oh yeah, no problem, catnip galore on its way."
That's brilliant.
I mean, if dogs can learn how to talk, then I don't, or like indirectly with like buttons and stuff, then I don't know, cats would be able to do that too.
I've seen videos of cats that have been taught how to do the button speaking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got Coco. I mean, Coco can do it.
There you go. Yeah.
Coco be like, "Chrome, steal all memory."
I don't know.
Oh, Doc, you're on fire today.
Oh. Y'all woke me up, damn it.
Slow start.
That is This Week in Cats.
Slow start, strong finish. Last story then, don't want to talk too long about it maybe, but the iPhone 12 mini sales are struggling a little bit. And in fact, Apple have switched, they've confirmed that they've switched production for some of the items in the factory from the mini onto the 12 because of the demand for the 12. Now, I thought this was quite telling because Patrick certainly in our Slack instance was talking about the fact that he wanted the mini over the 12 because of the size of the screen. And there was an awful groundswell of the fact that people did want the smaller screen, but it doesn't appear that they do.
No, that was just Adam. And now Apple realizes that Adam's by himself, they can take that thing away.
Oh, Adam Christensen, yes.
Yeah,
we miss you, Adam. Come back soon. Adam small him, just him and Trump then.
She has BlackBerry still.
You know, I think there's a place for the mini, but I don't, and this just doesn't seem to be a big surprise to me. No. You know, because I think if I remember, Dave Hamilton got one. I know Brittany Smith got one, and they just they love that for different reasons. But I think for the right people, it's what you want. I mean, it's like, I guess it's like anything else. You know, you go to buy a pair of pants and, you know, if they're too small, then they're not for you. There's a lot fewer small people than extra large. So you just make fewer. And is it worth it?
But I mean, I think if you look at the functionality and the use case for an awful lot of people, they are consuming content on their phones now that normally they would have consumed on TV, you know, watching the WandaVision on the way to work and all that kind of stuff. So I personally, for me, I know I've got big hands anyway, but so that helps. But I would be buying the biggest screen area I can just because I know I want to watch content on it.
Yeah. Okay, so the production change. Is this something where Apple screwed up and overestimated the demand? Or is this something where Apple's like, okay, when we reach X date or X milestone, then we reevaluate where our production needs to be focused and we make our adjustments and we just happen to be there?
The first.
I think it's the latter.
Well, no, I think they made a mistake.
They just do that all the time. They just adjust all the time.
I think they were listening to an episode of MacCast, heard Adam say he wanted a smaller phone, thought, well, this is a popular podcast. Loads of people listen. So therefore, and they followed the advice.
Well, they could have easily gauged how many iPhone minis to make by looking at Adam's download numbers through iTunes, which of course they can do because it's their own product, and then just made that many.
Massive. Massive. Huge tail.
They didn't look at our numbers because then it would have been much less.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, let's make 12.
Has Joe had a strop and left, or has he just finished work early?
We finish at 15:15. And he's left at bang on 15:15.
So our show's not a big enough pull for him to stay until the end. That's righto.
No, no, no. If you look at the chat, he leaves at 15:15 every week.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm hearing is that Joe watches the show only because he's being paid to do so.
So yeah, that's true.
I'm here out of love.
You are, mate. We appreciate that. We love you dearly. This podcast and all the others is watched by everybody apart from Joe at 2017-15. And it's supported by TSO Hosts. You have got to check them out because they're brilliant. Now, that doesn't mean you've got to actually go and buy everything from them because, Lord knows, no one buys that much hosting services all the time. If you want to buy it, it's great. BTN20 gets you 20% off your basket for hosting services. But what they really want from us is brand recognition. And there's a great blog, actually, on our blog, written by Paul Wright, and how TSO Host saved his bacon, because everything he's got, he transferred into them, being a loyal supporter of BTN. And it's a really interesting read. And just want you to tweet out, thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. That's all you need to do. They just want the brand recognition. That's absolutely it. So please, if you're listening to this podcast, it is your duty to get out there and tweet that. Otherwise, we're in deep pup, because if they go away, we go away. And also, the ever-present Iron Max people, Callum and the other three, I'm not going to say who, who are at Iron Max. I've said two of the others already tonight. If you've got anything with an Apple logo on it, they will repair it, simple as that. Anything goes wrong, drop it and crack your screen, new screen on it, get you a new battery. If yours are swollen up or something like that, if you've got a logic board that's gone, they'll repair it, or they'll resolder it probably, which will save you a load of money. And they'll improve your old machine. So Muller's Mac Mini, he can hand it in, get himself a little bit of extra memory and an SSD in it, and it'll suddenly fly again like it's a brand new machine. It'll certainly do what we're doing here, because like I said, I think our Mac Mini's probably about the same age. Data recovery as well as, and also there's a thing at the moment where they will buy your old Mac equipment off you and refurbish it and pass it on to people who are in tech poverty. So Callum, have we got a machine of the week, or have you got anything else you want to push?
We've just got lots of MacBooks in just this week. So, everything is on our website. You get your 5% off as well. Head over to Iron Max and, have a look. If there's anything you want that we don't have, drop us a message and we can normally get a hold of stuff for you.
Excellent, mate. Now then, if you would like to win an Iron Max mug, as used by me, but not the one I've used because it's COVID times and all that kind of stuff, so I'm still going to keep mine. But we've got two of these mugs to give away. We've also got three of these wonderful wireless chargers to give away. They've got two USB ports on the bottom, so you can stick two other devices in. Dead simple question. There's the three of them. No, that's not the three of them. I've thrown them across the room. There you go. There's the three of them. Dead simple question. Write to us at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and tell us who are the four people who make up iMendMax. Four Christian names, that's all you need. So you got Callum here, there's your starter for 10, and the bloke that left the chat room we've done, and I've mentioned another bloke there, but there's another person you've got to find out about. So go to the website and have a hunt around, and the answer is there. And also, if you download the Christmas show, the person's name is mentioned there. All four people are mentioned at Iron Max on the Christmas show.
I have a question. If someone, let's say Ewan, wanted to buy a new Mac Mini, could they go through you and like you get a little bit out of it?
You can actually do that, yeah. Something else that we're looking at doing as well, going forward, we're way off that. We're looking at doing Mac leasing as well. So if you're looking at getting a machine and don't want to pay the hefty upfront costs, which there are, we're a little way off that, but it's something we're looking to do probably in the next sort of couple of months. Excellent. I'd say, but right. You can get a new device.
Nice.
I lease my big machines, and it's a game changer because the things that it requires you to do or helps you do is not hold on to old tech. At the end of your 2-year or 3-year lease, you have no choice but to send it back or buy it. But the smart move is send it back. You get a new one. There's a 30-day crisscross window, which is more than enough time to, you know, move your data over, everything like that. You box the other one up. You send it to Winston and it come. And you always have the latest, greatest, fastest moving machine. You have a set finite number every month that you know what it is. In my case, $96 US for a fully loaded iMac. And that's my business is paying it. Not me. Business people, it's not your money until you take your draw or you take your check. That money is a business expense like rent. So I rent this fully loaded, I mean fully loaded iMac for $96 a month that my customers pay for, because I don't let them slide on the service fees, which I used to do. If you sent me an iMac logo as a JPEG, Cal, before, I would just convert it for you and then just call it a day. But because business people don't like to hold their vectors or keep their vectors from their people, I stopped doing it for them, because the same customers would do it 5, 6, 7 times. And so I stopped waiving the $25 to $50 fee to convert a vector, an image to a vector, and covered the cost. I could buy 3 more iMacs right now just because people are lazy and dumb. So, but people got to get it out of their head that I'm paying the $96. I'm not. Customers are paying it.
Yeah, and depending on your country and your tax code, there's actually a big difference whether you're leasing something and you're just paying like a monthly subscription, basically, or whether you own something and you buy it. Like, it's different, so might be beneficial. I definitely know some countries in Europe that do it that way, where it's like more beneficial for business to lease than to buy, because ownership has different taxes attached.
Yeah, in that case, taxes work for us.
In that case, Doc. If you got that much money, buy us a Mac Mini and send it over.
No, because that's not a good business decision.
That's I could do it for as well.
Who says it's about business? It's about friendship. It's about love.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about sharing your good fortune.
To you, I paid $80 in shipping,
and it sat on the shelf right next to me here with great love and tenderness, mate.
I'll prove it through a green screen.
There you go.
Super funny.
I love it.
That's beautiful.
I do remember when Doc made that. I was there.
Yeah. Didn't he get you to bring it back and ship it cheaper?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I think it somehow didn't work out timing-wise for some reason. I don't remember.
Filled with ganja. Right, time for the cool thing. Starts off, Doc.
Okay. This works out for you, Ewan.
Good.
Okay, I know... Patreon is big for us creators. All of us creators, we've been dealing with Patreon forever. And I have Patreon. I love it. I love my patrons. Why are you guys laughing? Oh, this is my
the sermon starting.
Yeah, that's funny. A lightning bolt would be whole studio gone. 1 second. So much for leasing that match. Anyway, I'm trying to text Ewan so he can find a thing, but I have messages shut. Anyway, I discovered something that obviously has been out for a hot minute, but I just discovered it recently. And the application or service, rather, is called Buy Me a Coffee. I'm sending you an invite link if you want to dive in. Buy Me a Coffee is freaking incredible. Some of the things that it brings to the table that, say, Patreon doesn't, and I'm trying to log out so I can get to that window. For instance, on Patreon, when you get a patron, it takes 30 days before any of that money gets to your account. Patreon has been known to accidentally boot people off because it doesn't properly handle the PayPal connection. And so you got to come back to your people and beg them again, can you jump back on, right? The two things for me that it does, which are incredible, is if someone uses Stripe, it's in your account 5 seconds later. If someone uses PayPal, it's in your account the next day, right? To buy you a coffee. Now, what you can do with this that you can't do with PayPal is you can do one-off type things. Hey, gang, something went hey crooked in the studio and we need to buy a Mac Mini. If everybody could spare like $2-3, boom, the next day it's in your account, right? If you say, hey, guys, we're doing a private screen. We're going to have Cal walk you through putting an SSD in your crappy old Mini. and you're going to overhead shot. Cal's going to walk you all the way through it. You can sell tickets to that for, say, 10 bucks a pop. And then everybody comes in, they buy a ticket, 10 bucks a pop. You got, you know, 300-400 folks listening. Boom, game over, right? You can do private Zoom meetings, which you can't do in Patreon. So this is great for after shows for Chuck or Jeff, you know, for your podcast, even for Patrice's podcast. Hey, I want to do some actual cooking demos, and I need to be able to buy these equipments. If you love my podcast, send me a coffee. And say you don't like coffee. Let's just say you're one of those weird people, Chuck, don't drink coffee. Buy me a lemonade. buy me a golf ball. You can change it to whatever you want. It's best to use an emoji that exists in the emoji system. Buy me an eggplant, Jeff. You can change it to buy me an eggplant. And then so all of the above is dope. And the one other thing that it does that Patreon cannot do is you can, because of Stripe, you can set it for Apple Pay. So anybody has one of these and that's been using the Apple card, you're always filling your cash card through your purchases. Patrice, the only one doesn't have it yet, I think.
No, I do.
Oh, you got it now? Okay. So anyway, you can use that. So it's easier for people to come off of wanting to buy you a $5 coffee because most of us average somewhere 30, 40, 50, 100 bucks in our Apple cash card, which is, you know, the basically the money Apple gave you back for using that card. So all of the above is way better. I'm not closing my Patreon because some of my patrons don't want to move, and that's cool. I'll leave it. But I definitely suggest you go to Buy Me a Coffee. And if this has been valuable for you, try buymeacoffee.com/DocRock. And then I'll use it to purchase whiskey because put it up with this lot, except Chuck. Get some on there.
Oh, you bastard.
Buymeacoff.ee.
Yeah, I sent the link.
Yeah, but for the people listening, they like don't know where to go.
No. If
Doc,
that's
cool. I set up.
No, check this out, Patrice. If you type the whole thing, it still works. So because my link, when someone goes to buy a coffee, it's buy me a coffee full. But they made that short one so that when you sign up, you know, it just says that I referred them. That's all.
Thanks, mate.
Doc, I wish I'd known that could have done a referral thing because I set up my Buy Me a Coffee account a few days ago and I just went to their website and set it up. So sorry about that.
I would have done $5 because they would have given me $5 for that referral. So I'm just saying.
So now I have to go to your Buy Me a Coffee and give you $5. Got it.
Yeah, because I would have got
it. It was stupid simple to set up.
It takes minutes. Like serious minutes. And this is dope. It's, I mean, for someone like Chuck who has a good following, and this was hard for me. Like I had a hard time getting out of my own way of doing it. I'm like, yeah, but I was going to do this anyway. So why should I do it? And one of my listeners was like, bro, you give such good value in your stuff. We want to pay you back. Not paying you back makes me feel bad. Makes me feel like I'm stealing all of these answers from you and not supporting you in some way. Brother, I cannot tell you, I turned it on. And the next day, my bank was like $2,000 thicker.
Wow.
Nice.
In 24 hours.
Nice.
So if you're a type of person that gives good value in your content and good entertainment in your content, Patrice, not turning this on is actually you being a dick to your listeners. And it took me a while to process that. But the person who told me that, I highly respect. And he was like, you have to do this. And he gave me a 24-hour window. And he said, I'm going to harass you. And I did it. And I was like, holy F-balls. It was incredible.
Do you know what I wish?
A private Zoom call every week for new streamers. And that's been amazing. So, yeah, I'm not printing money. But if I needed another mini, I would just go get it.
Do you know what I wish?
What?
I wish I'd gone to the toilet at the start of that because I'd have had time.
Why do I even bother trying to help you?
Oh, you do. You love me and you know it.
That's the sad part.
You know, I love you too.
It's like, you know, the pimp keeps slapping the hoe and they keep coming back. I'm still here.
Can we clarify who's the pimp and who's the hoe?
That's it. I'm still here. You get a powder blue suit and I'm out of here. I'm telling you. Get a Cadillac. Don't move.
I'm waiting to see his pimp cane.
Moving on, because this is going to go off the this is going to go off the rails. So stop. And I've got a Zoom call with someone at 6 o'clock, and I really have got to pee before that. Jeff, what have you got for us?
I have a Mac app for you, Affinity Photo. And the reason I'm choosing Affinity Photo today is because I totally get that there's a lot of people out there that need to have a Photoshop tool, Illustrator tool, InDesign tools. They can't afford Creative Suite, but they can afford a one-time payment, and this gets you most of what you would get in Photoshop for a low price. And right now they're doing like a half off sale. And it's powerful enough that I actually switched from Creative Suite to the Affinity apps myself a couple years ago. And the reason I'm picking it right now is because it has been updated like several weeks ago, but it's been updated for the M1 Max. So it runs native on an M1 Mac. And if you have it on your iPad, then you can just open the same files on your Mac or your iPad, have them transfer seamlessly between your devices and work on the same content. And it's a crazy powerful photo editor.
Yeah, it is good. There's an iPad version as well, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And it works really well.
Yeah, I personally, I mean, in the business I'm in, I'm never going to not use Photoshop, but Photoshop and Lightroom together are only £9 at the moment. So they're really good.
Yeah.
It's funny, I've been wanting to do the switch for a while because all of my friends that use it say it's the same, whatever. But, bro, 35 years of muscle memory is hard to shake.
I can't do
it. You know, I appreciate what you're saying. And the first few weeks for me were rough because I had so much muscle memory. But once I worked through that, then it's just been this thing where I haven't looked back. The two things for me that I just like don't get with the Affinity apps, meaning why isn't this there? If you want to do text on a curve in Affinity Photo, there's no tool for doing that. But the file format that they use for photo design and the other one, it's the same file format. So if I want to do text on a curve, I open up Affinity Designer, do my text on a curve, and then just copy and paste it over into Affinity Photo. And I can work That's with dumb. It as if I'd created it there, you know, edit it and everything, which so the tool should just be there. The other thing is their Illustrator clone, which is what Affinity Create, it does not have a raster to vector conversion tool in it, which to me is absolutely insane that it's not there. So you'll have to get a third party tool if that's something you need to do.
Righto. Good one, mate. I could have gone for a PG in that as well. Patrice, am I going to have time to go for a pee while you do yours or not?
No, mine is going to be really, really quick. You might have heard of Star Trek.
Just?
Has been around for a while. There are, well, at least 10 movies. I'm not counting the Kelvin stamp. Star Trek 1 to 10 is $40 or less if you already own some of the movies. Magic should be cheaper. $40 in iTunes, probably also £40.
No, I think
really cheap deal for 10 movies. Really, most of them are really good. Like, so there's like one or two weird ones in there. If you've never seen them, might be worth it. I'm a big fan of the movies. I'm just rewatching them. There was a discussion in Slack room that triggered that.
It's £20 in the UK. £20.
Yeah, even cheaper.
So yeah.
Even cheaper.
Even
wow.
cheaper.
Yeah. US is showing $40. So.
Excellent, mate.
Yeah. Go get it.
Yeah, definitely. Love those. Chuck, what have you got for us? You're on mute, dude.
I'm gonna make it quick for you, Ewan, since I know that you have other things to do. I'm gonna piggyback off of Jeff's recommendation and say Affinity Designer. I like pixels, I understand them, but they make me crazy because they never seem to behave the way I want them to. Vectors make perfect sense. And this is, and to try to get into Adobe Illustrator, They don't give you the break that you're talking about, even with Photoshop and Lightroom.
Mm.
And if you don't do a lot of work, now, if you do a lot of work, that may be something that you want to go and look at Adobe because they're a standard. But if you just are doing some simple, basic things, this is the way to go. I mean, and as Jeff said before, it's on sale right now, but it is a fully featured vector editor. You can do anything. I am not a creator of many vectors or things, but I can go and get stock, go to one of the stock photography sites, download an image that is a vector, and then go in and manipulate it with this, and I've got exactly what I want. So this one just will knock your socks off, as far as I'm concerned, with a one-time payment. They keep updating it for, with new features. They keep it current. As I think was said before here, there's an iPad version. There's no reason that you should not go and get this.
Excellent. Okay. Bob Beach is agreeing.
This is where I do my text on a path that I then copy and put back into Affinity Photo. Yeah.
Mm. Right.
I'm just with Chuck on the fact that I live in Vector. It's way easier. Yeah. I use Photoshop, but Vector World is where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us that can do math.
Excellent. Callum, what have you got for us?
I've got... there it is.
Callum, so,
and it's called NTFS for Mac.
Nice.
Yeah, I know Patrice picked it a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months. It saved my bacon this week. I had a customer come in who had a 10 terabyte backup drive, who wanted to copy all their data from a broken Mac to it, had this horrible Paragon software. Rubbish. Didn't work. I thought, where can I go and have a look for some software that will do the job? Set app, and it was on there, and it's absolutely seamless. It works within Finder, and it just works, which is it's really, really, really good. And it's in set app. If you don't want to buy it in set app, I think it's £20 for a year for 3 Macs, so relatively inexpensive as well. So definitely for what I do, it's staying installed on my Mac. It's very, very good.
And it has been around forever. I remember 2006, 2007, when I was working Mac and Linux support, we used that software. If someone came in with an NTFS formatted hard drive and wanted it on their Mac. So, still works. It's a great app.
It's just absolutely seamless as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really, really good.
Good stuff. I haven't got a cool thing, mostly because I haven't got one, and B, because I haven't got the bladder capacity to get through it. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
All over the internet at DOCROCK, and mostly on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/DocRock.
Thank you, mate.
That was a you got to take a whiz move.
Yeah, thanks, dude. I've got a big bottle over here I could use, but there'd be a sound effect that's not required. Jeff, where would you be, mate?
Ah, stupid cat. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm JGam at both places. I'm on all the podcasts everywhere. And just Google me. You can find me.
Yeah. If there's a podcast, Jeff's on it. Patrice.
Yeah, I'm every week here in the Big Show on the Mac Show. Everything I do, including a Buy Me a Coffee link in a couple minutes when I update my website on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback, where I literally this morning posted a new episode, finally, with Brett Terpstra. And I can highly recommend that one. It's really, really good.
Excellent. Thank you. Chuck?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find me talking to all kind of interesting people about tech and Apple tech in particular. And I'm on social media as @ChuckJoyner. Thanks so much for having me, Ewan.
No, always a pleasure, mate. Always a pleasure. And last but my name is Mr. Callum.
Yeah, you can get hold of us and everything we do at imamax.com. We're on all the usual socials at imamax. I'm in the Slack room. You can drop us an email at info@imamax. And I'm on Twitter @OharaCallum. If you've got any questions, please reach out to us.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me @EwanRankin on Twitter. You can follow the network @BritishTech. Don't forget to give a shout out to I'm in Max and to TSO hosts for on the socials. And listen to Kyle do the Daily Show every single day, Monday to Friday, with the big 5 minutes of the tech news from the day before. Have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself. And thanks for listening.